How many of you have your Bibles with you today? Amen. We're going to finish the second part of our message from last week, Success Street. Everybody, how many people want to be a success in life? Amen. Nobody wants to be a failure, right? I didn't think you did. So our text that we looked at last week was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And while you turn there, we'll pray. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you that everyone will be met at their point of need today, Father. And we just give you honor and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists." You know, the Hebrew says, that he exists. And that he is a rewarder of all those that diligently seek him. And then the text we're going to look at today is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Actually, we'll just look at verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." And that's what we're going to look at. And last week, we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, when it says, add to your diligence faith. All right, and we could look at that as faithfulness, and faithfulness is very important. And so it was a two-part series. Again, just to recap it a little bit, message one had to do with diligence, and we looked at that, tore it apart, and then the second part is going to have to do with faithfulness. And as you're diligent, your faithfulness will grow, all right? And these two characteristics, these two attributes is so important to your success. I know that they were going to come to church this morning, but they've been traveling. They're just wiped out. But one of the fellows who heads up their team, Kurt, who's a friend of ours since we went to Rhema, been working for them for 37 years. And if that's not faithfulness, man, and I look at him and his wife, Anita, because they were about two of the first people that we ever hooked up with when we went to Rhema, and they're just they're there. I mean, we were having trouble with our air conditioner. I gave him the church van to use. Says that I need Freon in the van, and man, he was in a heartbeat. He said, "Go get the Freon, I'll put it in." Because that's just faithful people, and that is so important. And God has blessed them beyond their wild imagination to the point that they actually live in Brother Hagin's house. So God will bless you. If you're diligent and committed to what God wants in your life, he will bless you, and you can't help it. You just can't help it. And like I said, I believe everyone wants to be successful. None of us wake up in the morning not wanting to be successful. All right? So it's important. And today is faithfulness. We looked at diligently seeking God last week, not to hammer a horse, but again, diligent means to work at something. Be completely committed and sold out to it. To seek it out. All right? If you want something, you have to seek it out. And we looked at God as a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the word rewarder means he's one who pays wages. God pays wages. But you know what? If you don't work, you shouldn't get paid. But if you're faithful, God will pay you. Amen? And if you want to qualify for God's paycheck, for his reward, so to speak, you have to be called, number one, to do something. And number two, you have to be completely committed and sold out to do it. To doing it, and you know, don't misread what I'm saying, but I like to be around, and they were first of all, they were blown away yesterday because I said, you know what, don't be driving your bus back and forth to the meetings, take the church van, and they said, you're kidding, I said, no, just take the church van, and then Kurt says, I can't believe that you're here, I says, Kurt, you're my friend, man, you know, and I says, it's just me, I want to see what's going on. I like the process. So I was here with them, stayed with them all day, you know? And so it's important, but it's completely committed. You got to be completely committed to something by pressing forward, pressing into it, getting it done to accomplish what God has called you to do. You know, 30 some years ago, God called us to pastor a church. It's a commitment. You know, it's like a pig. A pig. A pig is committed to be bacon. All right. I don't know if that kind of went out the way I wanted it to, but you got the... All right. Praise God. So today we're going to look at that second part, that all-important part, faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. That is so important. You know, I got to ask you, have you ever felt like, and I know it, there's not enough time in the day? Last night, 10 o'clock, we were here, and I'm going, where did the day go? You know? And it's hard to get anything done because the pace of the 21st century makes things difficult to keep up with it all. It's just, we have so much information getting thrown at us with the TV, the news. My wife goes, what are you reading on your phone? I says, the Tom's River Patch has sent me an alert. Fox News sent an alert. And it's like we have all this input coming at us. And there's so many things that compete for our time. All right? And our attention. And we just sometimes feel like everything's just a big, like, chaotic mess bomb. All right? And you just want to, like, chill out. But we have the choice of what we're going to pay attention to, what we're going to give importance to. And staying focused on the Word of God and learning to follow His promptings in our life is what's key. It's important to overcoming the chaos that we have in our life. And we have chaos in our life. Everybody has chaos going on. Just so many things going on. In Galatians chapter 5, it says faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness is one of the characteristics of our born again spirits, okay? And it's essential. It's really essential for living life that is pleasing to God and non-chaotic, all right? And as Christians, we should be full of faith, but we also need to be faithful in what we do. There's a lot of Christians that talk a lot about faith, but they're not faithful to anything. Can't depend on them. You know? So what does it mean to be faithful? Well, it's defined as being loyal and dependable. It actually means to be worthy of trust. That's what faithfulness is. It's a faithful person who says and finishes what he starts. And you can count on them. They say they're going to do this, and you could walk away, and you could come back a week later, and they're still there, faithful, doing what they said they were going to do. They're trustworthy. You don't worry about it. All right? And it begins in the little things in your life. The little itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny things that you have in your life, like your routine that you do every day. Faithfulness to that routine. Now I'm going to give a little secret on me and my wife. One of the routines that we have every day is making the bed. And making the bed. And I'll tell you what. I don't know if she's trained me that way over 47 years or what, but I cannot leave the house without the bed being made. And it's just part of the routine, man. Being faithful in that routine, our everyday chores of what we do. Okay, and that's so important. To her, it's even dishes in the sink, man. She will not, I don't care how late she is for something, if there's a dish in the sink, it's going to get washed, dried, and put away. It's not even going to stay on the counter and the little thing to drip dry. But you say, well, that's stupid. No, that's important because how you treat those things is how you'll treat others. How you treat those little things is how you're going to treat big things that God wants to give you. Amen. Now, if you don't wash your dishes and you leave them in the sink, God still loves you. All right? I'm not saying that, but, you know, that might not be your routine. All right? But, you know, now, if you just leave them there for a week and they hit the ceiling, you got a problem. And I've known people, been in their house where the dishes are to the ceiling, and my wife starts washing them. Oh, God. It should be seen in our home. You know, there used to be a real joke years ago when a Christian got to, they used to have the nicest lawns and houses on the planet. Then all of a sudden they got saved. And they had weeds this high growing on their front lawn. You're thinking, like, what happened? Why should that routine change? Okay? But it does. But so it should be seen in our home and on a job, at church, faithfulness at church. Our wives and our spouses need to, and our children know that we can depend on them. Or they can depend on us, I'm sorry, on us, and that we keep our word. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. If my kids ask me for something, if it's all within my power, it'll get done. You understand? And it's important that they see that faithfulness. Your employer needs to see your faithfulness. Your employer needs to know, they can depend on me. I'm going to show up. And you know what? I'm going to show up 10 minutes early. Raymond said they'd be here 9 o'clock yesterday morning. 10 minutes to 9, that bus pulled into the parking lot. If you're an employer, your help needs to know that they could depend on you. All right? And your pastor needs to know. Your fellow church members need to know that you could be trusted to join with them and do your part. You know, and I left that little thing upstairs that I wrote the other way about somebody had to do everybody, whatever it was, anyway. But it's these little things, and they're not unimportant things in our life. Our family, our job, our church, they're the most important aspects of your life. And by proving yourself faithful in these areas, in the everyday things, things we do automatically, by being faithful, you make yourself available to be trusted by God. And God will give you other things concerning that. You know, we know the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. The landowner goes away and he gives each one a certain amount of talents and they invest it. One of them was afraid. He was in fear and he didn't take that talent. Now, if you want to say it was money or a talent that you have, and he buried it. And he was reprimanded heavily for that because the guy says, you know, I reap where I don't sow. At least you could have taken the talent and put it in a bank and got interest, but you buried it in the ground. And so many Christians bury their talent in the ground and don't use it for God. Amen. And the guys that buried that invested their talent, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear when I get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so many Christians, they have gifts, they have abilities, they have talents, and they sit on them. And they want to know why God isn't moving in their life. They always go, why isn't God moving in my life? Hello? Think about it. Maybe you ought to take your talent and do something with it. And one of the greatest examples we have of that is Moses. He was faithful. In the book of Numbers, it tells us that Moses was faithful in all his house. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 and 8. Then he said, hear now my words. This is God speaking. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in dreams. Listen. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. I like that. One translation says that of all God's house, Moses is the one the Lord trusted the most. Wow, that's something, man. God trusted Moses, and he spoke to Moses face to face. He said, I'll speak to prophets in dreams and visions, but Moses, I'm going to speak to you face to face. He proved himself faithful. He proved himself faithful. You know, and God said, and so he said, I'm not going to speak to him in dreams and visions. I'm going to talk to him face to face. I'm going to tell him what I want. I'm going to tell him what he has to do for me. All right? And he developed this relationship with God, this faithful in fellowship, and it's because he proved his faithfulness to God. It's a relationship with God. You know, we talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1 about adding diligence and faithfulness and through the knowledge of God, getting to know God on a one-to-one personal basis. It's one thing to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but it's another time to get away and spend time with him by yourself and get to know him. And that's when God will start to move in your life, but if you're too busy doing a million other things, it's not going to happen. So his everyday relationship with God was phenomenal, and God used him. Psalm 103, verse 7, it says that God made known his ways to Moses. Now, you're going to see why this is important, because it goes on in that verse, and just think about that. God was so faithful, Moses was so faithful, that God revealed his ways to him. And through Moses taking his time to know God and getting into a deeper relationship with the Father, it was that allowed God to entrust Moses the job of leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And it says in the rest of that verse that he made his ways known unto Moses and his acts made known unto the people of Israel. Now you have to think about that. Everybody wants to see God's acts. We want to see the miracles. We want to see all this kind of stuff. But you know what God really wants to do? He wants to show you his ways. Because when God shows you, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when God shows you his ways, people will see his acts through you. You know, when Brother Hagin was alive, people would get healed. I've been in meetings where people popped out of wheelchairs and walked and everything. You know why? God showed Brother Hagin his ways. And because he was faithful to do what God said, the acts of God were through Brother Hagin, and people were healed and set free. So we got to get away from this. I just want to go to a church meeting and see what's going to happen. You want to come to a church meeting because I want to be what's happening? Amen. So it's a benefit. Your faithfulness benefits other people. And as we learn and as we learn God's ways and learn to follow the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will find greater success in our lives. And again, in Psalm 107, he says, God made known his acts to the children of Israel. But how did that happen? It began through the faithfulness of Moses. If Moses wasn't faithful, God would have had to find somebody else, or Israel wouldn't have seen his acts. You know, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to bless other people through you. So God wants to show you his ways, so people can see his acts and hopefully learn his ways so other people could see his acts. And it's all through this little thing called faithfulness. Being diligent. It's being diligent. Another story. It's not a long message today. Another story. Remember Jesus rebuking the storm? Turn to Mark chapter 4. Let's read that story. There's something a little interesting in that story. There's a process that took place in that story because of Jesus' faithfulness to what God called him to do. We kind of say, well, he was Jesus, he was God, and, you know, he had to do it. And that's not true. Anyway, he's going to the other side of the sea, and we see Jesus. We're going to see here. It goes on the same day, verse 35, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening came, had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats followed. Underline that little phrase. Other little boats. Some of you use the old King James as other ships. Okay? Were with him also. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat in the boat so that it was already filling. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he talks about why were they so fearful. And so here's what happened. Jesus' faithfulness to the Father caused the sea to be calm and blessed all the other little boats. And here's the beauty part of it. Not only was it Jesus' faithfulness that gave the disciples peace, calm the sea, help the other boats, but led them to the other side and heal the man possessed with demons. See, we don't realize how far our faithfulness will stretch and touch other people. You know why? Because we're short-sighted and we worry about us. R4 and no more. Is that how Brother Hagin used to say it, Daryl? God bless me, R4, no more. That was it. And we're so very short-sighted. But we don't understand how being diligent and building up on our faithfulness, the tentacles of our faithfulness go out and touch other people. I mean, you are a package for God. And the people in the day received the benefit of Jesus calming the storm. They were following Jesus, and the storm came up. Imagine if Jesus went, oh, look out, let's duck. Everybody take cover. And they were little boats, so his boat must have been bigger. And the other side was the Gardenias. And Gardenes? And Gadarenes? Whatever. El Gad, G-A-D. All right, what are you going to do? But anyway, but that's where Jesus delivered the man with the legion of devils. Amen. See, there's people in your life who are counting on you. They're counting on you. Waiting for you. There are people that you don't know that are counting on you. They don't know they are. Seriously, they're waiting. They're waiting. You're going to minister to them. You're going to bless them. You're going to heal them. The power of God's going to heal them. But you're going to be the instrument that God uses for them to receive their healing. They're counting on you to make it. And you don't even know who they are yet. Amen. That's amazing. But they're counting on you. Amen. And as you're faithful to speak the word of life and the word of God into their lives, you're going to bless them. Yes. As you're faithful to speak and live the word of God in your home, on your job, in your church, then you'll see the benefits. You know, your faithfulness will allow God to lead you to places that you have never been before. It'll lead you to places to bring faith, prosperity, peace, and healing to people that need it. All through your faithfulness. All through you being diligent. Not to blow out the door when church is over because you got to run somewhere. Unless it's, you know, you got to go to work or something, but that's one thing. But hanging out, who knows? Maybe you would just have a cup of coffee with somebody and they're going to tell you they got a problem. You're going to pray with them and it's going to be solved. But if you're not diligent and you're faithful and you're too worried to get out of here because you got to go to the beach. Beach ain't going nowhere, my friend. Been here a long time. I was reading something yesterday in a newspaper. And by 2080, Seaside Heights is going to be underwater. Do you know that that means it has to, the ocean has to raise 6 inches a year? I've been living down here all my life. That ocean is still where it was. Hasn't moved. Sure, they get a storm surge every now and then, but the water still, it goes away. It goes back because God put a boundary. Listen, I go, how do they calculate this? I was reading this. Who was I riding? I was riding with my son Joey in the car. I go, how do they calculate this stuff? Like, I want to know who's the guy who sits and figures this out. Leonardo DiCaprio. It must be him. It's either him or Al Gore. In case you're visiting, I'm not politically correct, okay? So just, I mean, how do they think of these dumb things? In 20 years, Point Pleasant, Seaside Heights, Atlantic City will no longer be, they'll be under 20 feet of water. I don't understand that. You've been living down here a long time. You've been living in a house a long time. The water's still there. Occasionally, when you get a northeast or something like that, the water comes up, but it goes back. And when the tide goes down, you can walk across that marsh back there, right? And you got to ask yourself, are they nuts? Don't they ever read the Bible? Where God says he put boundaries on things? Maybe they didn't read the part where he said he'd never destroy the earth. With water. Anyway, why did I get off on that one? Your faithfulness will, again, allow you to go to places you would never imagine. You know, in closing, I'll share this. When I first got saved, back in 1976, 78, I could not fathom where the road that God was taking me down. And the people that God had put in my path over those years. I would have never, ever, and you know, I'm not a theologian. I don't have a degree in literature or journalism or speech. But yet God has placed me with some of the stalwarts of the faith across their path over the years. And you have to ask, how come? And the only thing that I could attributed to is being diligent and faithful to what God has called us to do. Only reason. That was it. Faithfulness. Does it mean you're going to become a millionaire? You might. Look at a guy who owns Hobby Lobby. You know? Worth $4.3 billion. That ain't bad for arts and crafts. And they were talking to him about his faith, and They're more concerned about taking the money and recycling it back into people's lives than being a billionaire. But because they're willing to do that, they're billionaires. And we just can't get it through these goals. Now, we're not all going to be billionaires. But you never know. God wants to bless you. That's it. And God, and we'll close with this. You guys come up here. Such one's going to be long today. God, really, God, listen to me. While they're coming up here, just they'll be quiet. They'll be quiet when they come up here. But God is looking for faithful people to learn his ways, recognize when he is leading them, and it's not their flesh leading them. Maybe you ought to be here on Wednesday nights because we're covering all of that. How you tell the difference between your spirit and your flesh, whether it's your spirit or your flesh, you know. But if we're faithful in these areas, then we'll see the acts of God in our homes, in our workplace, in our churches. We'll understand God's ways. He'll show us his ways. And faithfulness does one thing that I know for sure, produces lasting results when you're faithful to what God has called you to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, I praise you today. Thank you for everyone in this place tonight. Lord, and again, we bring the meetings that are going to start this evening at 7 o'clock with Pastor Hagen, and then the meetings tomorrow and Tuesday with Lynette. Father God, I know that the Spirit of God is going to move and that people's lives are going to get changed. And God, you're going to have the people come here from the north, the east, the south. Father, you're going to bring them in here because they need to be ministered to. Doesn't matter what church, denomination, where they go, you want to touch their lives. So you can go back and become faithful and touch other people's lives. And Lord, if there's anyone in this place this morning, let's all hold hands across the room. Let's just pray this prayer. Stand up. Stand up. Praise God. Just simple little prayer. Ask God to renew a spirit, or bring forth that spirit of faithfulness that we already have it. Because if you're born again, how many people's born again?
Amen.
Then you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Did I lose my mic or something? You have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That means you have the fruit of faithfulness in your spirit. It is there. So now you need to pray, Lord, let me develop the fruit of faithfulness. You have to develop. Just like a tree develops apples, it develops the oranges. And as they grow and mature, the fruit gets sweeter, the fruit gets better. That's what we need in our lives. So let's pray. Give me your hand. Father God, we praise you today. Father, I thank you for everyone in here. Lord, I thank you for all those faithful people. Lord, and I ask you today that you would help us through your spirit to develop faithfulness, to develop that fruit in our lives, to develop the fruit of diligence in our lives, Father God. We ask that today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you for the people that are here, that you would develop those fruit in their life as they're faithful to read the Word of God, to meditate in the Word of God, to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, that fruit will develop and they'll know your ways and people will see their acts. And Father, we praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.